writing the statutes, I'm trying to combine, through creating a new type of institution, the diverse characteristics of popular banks and rural cases, as you've heard about in France. And I'm looking closely at the Luzzati type. You will probably say that my project is very daring, if not downright reckless. On the first day of business, deposits totaled $26.40. Despite this modest result, for all our hard work, this is how, in my small town, the first case began, which would become the foundation for our great financial organization.
Today, Desjardins Group is the leading cooperative financial group in Canada and the sixth largest in the world. It is among the 10 best corporate citizens in Canada. Its case network, deeply rooted throughout Quebec and in Ontario, is defined by exceptional accessibility and local services, inspired by the needs of its members and clients. Its dominant position in several markets makes it the leading financial institution in Quebec. Through its comprehensive, integrated range of services for individuals and businesses, Desjardins serves 7 out of 10 Quebecers. Recognized as the best employer in Canada by Hewitt Associates in 2009, Desjardins is the leading private employer in Quebec and one of the largest in Canada. It has offices in major cities across the country. Desjardins has excellent credit ratings. It is one of the best capitalized financial institutions in the country, with 84% of its Tier 1 capital made up of reserves. Global Finance magazine ranks Desjardins 25th among the world's 50 safest banks. Desjardins is collectively owned and controlled. All of its 5,800 case officers are elected democratically and often participate in extensive consultations, and 255 of them act as representatives to elect the president and CEO of Desjardins Group. Développement International Desjardins, a leader in microfinance for the past 40 years, supports more than 35 million individuals in 25 developing countries. Desjardins is a major player in socioeconomic development in Canada, helping create and maintain 75,000 jobs. Through donations, sponsorships, bursaries, and the social involvement of its officers and employees, Desjardins Group is one of Canada's financial institutions that gives back the most to the community. Desjardins' sustainable prosperity can be achieved through the financial and economic education of its members, a goal that has been part of its cooperative DNA since its very beginning. For Alphonse Desjardins, individuals were the focus. Faithful to the mission of its founder, Desjardins Group is building the future with strength drawn from its values of social responsibility and cooperation.
Thank you very much for your time and coming to visit us here today. We're very excited to have you here.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation, and really it's a privilege for me to be with you and to have this, certainly this opportunity to have a good discussion later in the meeting.
Okay, thank you. So as Carl mentioned in his introduction, you've had a very successful career from numerous executive positions. I believe you've won a number of prestigious accolades, and you've also represented on a number of boards. And I was hoping you could share with us what was, you know, the key to your career success.
Well, I will try to be very personal on that. I'm not thinking too much about success. Personally, I prefer to think about progress. And in that context, it starts with, I guess, something that you need. And success is different for each person. And you need to start with a sort of personal interest and passion. And I have this privilege to, I would say, work, but in something that, you know, I'm passionate about. So is it really work or something else? I think that's one element of success or progress. The second is certainly hard work. That's very obvious. But when you do a lot of hard work for something that you like, well, it's kind of easy. The other aspect that is very much important, I think, and that's an element that helped me a lot, is to be able to work in different ways with people. It's the art, to a certain extent, of learning from people and with people. Whatever the position or whatever the stage where you are, for example, as being the chair of the board and the CEO of this large organization, I need to learn still from people. People working with me, some of our employees, some of our members of the management committee, as well as some of our elected officers. And I'm very careful to reserve time to stop and take the opportunity to get feedback from people. So those are general observations, but I think that when I look back and when I look forward, those elements are certainly very much important in terms of development and progress for each person.
Interesting. I just wanted to perhaps ask you a couple of questions in regards to your board involvement. As MBA students, some of us may aspire to one day be a member of corporate boards ourselves. And so I was hoping you could share with us what was your approach to first being appointed to, I guess, boards of institutions?
Well, I think that it starts at the school and certainly at the university level. You cannot think that you will be eventually a member of a board if you are not involved. And maybe it's there is a relationship between this question and the first. You need to get involved, you need to contribute, you need to bring something around the table. And over time, you will create network, you will create people who will know you, and you know, you will get there. So personally, I started at the university level. I was, you know, leading the ISEC group. Maybe it is still very active at McGill. I was elected also on the board of Université du Québec, à Chicoutimi. So it was really my first experience as being a board member, and I have to say that was a little bit nervous about this first experience. And after that, sometimes it is easier to start with non-profit organizations. It's a good experience, and it's an experience also which will bring you to contribute and create networks. Sometimes you will be asked to maybe contribute to a startup. Again, that's, you know, something that will help you to create. And after that, with time, you will be having experience, expertise, knowledge, etc. And you will be able, of course. Maybe if I can, you know, we have 400 cases in our network. And we have a board training program. So we are having, I guess, depending on the situation, each case could have between one and three trainees as board member. I'm saying that in a way that is really informal, but whatever it is for a case or, you know, for something else, the important thing is to start and get involved.
So then, just exploring that a little bit further, if someone takes your advice, do you have any advice on how to be an effective board member and how to really add value to the organization that one is working with?
There is a big difference between a board member and a manager. It sounds obvious, but sometimes in reality it is not. When you are a board member, you are not there to manage the organization. So you need to understand that difference. You need to have a very solid business judgment. And sometimes it's not just to have the experience on a particular field or activities. It is also to put a solid judgment on the people. Because at the end of the day, the business and organization is always around people. So you need to have that kind of experience, capacity to communicate, but to listen, to observe, to be able to be there, to contribute around the table, to ask good questions, tough questions. So in order to do that, you need to make your mind about a particular situation or a business. You need to understand the environment, the context, the strategies. You need to understand, of course, the financial aspect of the organization, whether it is a nonprofit, a startup, of a large corporation, obviously. And after that, you need to spend time to think about people. That's the most important thing in my mind.
Okay. Interesting. So I imagine that there aren't many people in Quebec who perhaps has a familiarity with the businesses that are here. And so I was hoping to ask you, at a macro level, what do you see as the competitive advantage of Quebec-based firms, and what do you see as being the key growth industries in Quebec, say, over the next 10 or 15 years?
Well, it's a big question. maybe I will start with some observations, and we can take additional questions later on. I was at Davos 2 weeks ago. And it's a very interesting forum because, of course, you can read in newspapers and on the internet a lot of the information that is, given at during the forum. But there is again a big difference. What I like in the forum is that you can see people and you can look in their eyes and you can see really how they feel about particular issues. So. Just to make a brief summary and as an intro for my observations, I was there, for 4 days listening to all of those people talking about, the Eurozone and the difficulty with, the Euro, talking about the level of the debt in the U.S., talking a debate between the Chinese and the American, talking about instability in the world, food issues, natural resources, water supply, energy, that kind of thing. And when you are there and you sit back and you think a little bit, you say, well, my God, we are lucky in Quebec and we are really lucky in Canada. Why? Well, quite, even though nothing is perfect, solid democracy, good education system, reasonable good healthcare system, water, food supply, energy, natural resources, and so on. A lot of space, capacity with, no, but I mean, it may sound very obvious, but when sometimes you stop yourself and you are thinking about the future, you can see that we have a lot of advantage. And personally, I'm very proud of being Canadian, being a Quebecer, and I think that going forward, we were able to achieve a lot, but there are a lot of possibilities in front of us, and it brings me to the opportunities for Quebec-based organizations. I guess that the key issue is not, well, first of all, I think that we will need in Canada and in Quebec to be a little bit more strategic in terms of the way we are managing our natural resources, the energy sector, in terms of balancing, I would say, the ownership, the exploration rights, and do that with respect to the people, the population, the environment. But having said that, I think that we have a lot of possibilities. So that's certainly one aspect. But at the end of the day, I think that it will be education and innovation which will make the difference. And I think that if we are able to develop or to encourage more innovation, more education, more entrepreneurship, and ambition. There's no limit to what we can do. And it's difficult to identify a sector, because I will take a very simple example. Think about Cirque du Soleil. Think about that, you know, concept of starting a circus. It's kind of... But when you think about what they have been able to achieve, I don't think it's a question of sectors. I think that in any sector, we can do something quite powerful.
Interesting, thank you. So I was hoping now to turn our attention to Desjardins in specifically. And we, from the introductory video, we learned that it's obviously a cooperative, and that's a key differentiator from the larger banks in Canada, or the, I should say the other banks, actually. So I was hoping you could perhaps explain to us how being a cooperative affects your corporate governance, your strategy, and what advantages it gives you over your competitors.
Okay, well, first of all, I have a lot of respect for the Canadian banks and the Canadian banking system. I think that when we look back at the financial crisis, we can conclude that the Canadian system and all the people working with that system did a good job. And at the end of the day, you know, we are always working together. And you cannot talk about cooperation without having that kind of spirit at the end of the day. Now, the big difference is that as you were able, and maybe you were able, to, you know, for some of you to observe that the beginning of the video was around Alphonse Desjardins. And Alphonse Desjardins, just a few words for the people to understand. In fact, he created the first case in Lévis, which is just a town on the other side of the river in front of Quebec City, in 1900, in December 1900. And Alphonse Desjardins was, at that point in time, spending 6 months of his life, grosso modo, in Lévis, and the other 6 months in Ottawa. Because he was a stenographer in the House of Commons, and he has also he had also part of his family living in Ottawa. Alphonse Desjardins spent part of his life also with the Canadian Army. I'm saying that because he had at that point in time quite a good knowledge of the situation across Canada. What is interesting about him also is that he did what we call right now benchmarking in the world very early. Because when we were referring to, you know, some of his letter to the French people, the Italian people, the German people, in fact, if we go, you know, together to Lévis, we still have within the Desjardins Group his house, you will see a library that is probably the most complete library about capitalism, capital, finance, that kind of thing that was written by people during those years. So what is interesting about his vision, and we are still very much aligned with this vision, was to be able to have an organization where people could contribute and participate in the organization. So essentially, he created the CASE to be able to have the possibility for people to bring, of course, their savings first, and, of course, take some of the savings with good capital, obviously, in the case, to proceed with responsible credit. So the basics, when we look back at what he wrote and the principle of the first case, are still perfectly in line with the reality of Basel III, which is interesting. There is a big difference in the fact that we are not owned by shareholders. So, you know, I would say the strategy, the philosophy is not to manage and run the organization to produce return to shareholders on a quarterly basis. That's not the philosophy. So it's a philosophy which is based on commitment of people. We have 6,000 elected officers in our case, which means that When we meet, and we will be meeting, for example, at the end of March at our annual meeting, it's 2,000 elected people who will be there to talk about the case, the group, the strategies, the performance. And so it's really a participative, collaborative organization. And I'm not saying that we are doing things that are perfect. It's very challenging because you need to make sure at the end of the day that you are not paralyzed by 6,000 people who are trying to take together, decisions. So you need to have a process to move forward, but also to bring people to understand complex issues. We are managing a very large financial organization, so we need to deal with Basel III, we need to deal with funding programs in the world, so we need to deal with the complexity of a large financial institution. But you need to bring some of your elected officer who could be somebody without any financial background to be a director of one of your case. So it's, I would say, quite an interesting democratic process. So that's really, I think, in terms of our governance, one of the major differences vis-à-vis a banking structure. And the second, I would say, that we are trying to balance our performance. I mean, from a financial point of view, we are having a solid financial performance. But we are also doing a lot of things for people and communities. So it's always this equilibrium between the two.
Okay. And just before we turn to the audience for questions, I wanted to delve a little bit further on, you mentioned the involvement of 6,000 elected representatives, and it has to do with stakeholder management. I mean, unless you have 5.8 million members who I believe can vote at the annual general meeting, and there's obviously representation coming from close to 500 cases. So how do you manage such, a large and even diverse group of stakeholders there?
Well, I guess that I hope that some of you who could have an interest could come to our, big events and annual meetings. First of all, we need to have a very disciplined process, a process that is has respect for people. So we need to have that in place, and we have that within Desjardins. The second is that personally, I encourage very open and transparent discussions. So we need to put forward different tools and ways to have this open discussion with the network. As an example, at least on a quarterly basis, we have web conference with our elected officers. And I will sometimes start, with a presentation, and after that, people by way of, telephone or web will interact directly with me, with the board of directors, and the management team of Desjardins Group. We have also, and I don't want to enter into the complexity of our democratic structure, but we have regular events with different processes which will bring people at the local level to talk about strategies. So, for example, each case, and I would say some of the cases have 50 to 150 employees with a board of directors of 10 to 20 people, will work on a business plan, will meet on a monthly basis, will produce a strategic plan, which will be discussed at the level of each region, and after that, each region, there will be representative of the case, the region, up to the national level. And we will be having discussion at that level about the business plan, the strategic plan, some of the major projects we have, some of the financial issues, and it will go up to our big annual meeting with the 2,000 people. Okay. So it's a lot of conversation, discussions, and somebody who is not comfortable with debates and discussion, I think it's better not to come at Desjardins. But it is so fantastic because personally I like to to work with people, so it's a fantastic, I would say, job in that context.
Great. So now we may turn over to the audience. Do we have a microphone first? Over here, yeah.
My name is Katrina Bartelis.
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to see you.
Hold on. I understand that your background's in accounting and auditing and tax.
Yes.
Yes. Being a student in the decision-making process of what to study, I was wondering how and when you knew what to study, that you wanted to study this subject in depth, or if you ever switched your mind, changed your mind.
Okay. Well, first of all, my background really is in music. Music and art. And oh my God, I don't know if I should go back to that story. But, you know, I had a certain, I would say, talent in music and arts. But in that field, you know, it's really a global, I would say, industry. And to be honest with me and my parents, we were not able to support me in the development of my quote-unquote interests after my studies in Quebec. So I'm a very pragmatic person, and I look at that and I said, well, I like art and music, but I like a lot working with people. So, it was very natural for me to go to business, to a business school. And after that, again, I said to myself, I think that I want to study in audit and accounting, because you need to understand, the language of business. And for me, it was, very natural to start in that field. And I had, and I guess that I was influenced by people, and that's my reference to people. I guess that all the things I've done in my life was very much influenced by people who were around me, and I had this opportunity to be in touch, I guess, at the beginning of my studies at the university with people having a very solid background in accounting and auditing. Having said that, great experience. I worked with Ernst & Young many years. I had the opportunity to work in Canada, in the States, in Europe. It's a global firm like other firms. I was able also to be the president of the Quebec Orb and governor of CIC. And that's, the thing that I was mentioning to you. It opens up slowly but gradually but surely a lot of opportunities. And personally, I like to see problems like sometimes an opportunity to do something. And maybe whatever the field you will be choosing, what is important is always to ask yourself what you can bring in terms of solutions, in terms of looking just at the problem side. So good luck.
Thank
good
you.
Luck.
So I think there's a...
Hi, my name is Pat Tenariello in the MBA program. A good friend of mine, his father worked for Desjardins in Cameroon. So I'm aware that you guys have a presence in Africa. I was wondering, is this part of your core strategy, or is this more of like a CSR initiative?
Oh, that's an excellent question. And we are doing some work on that question at this moment. It's not just part of our CSR kind of thing. It's much more profound. Développement International Desjardins, DID, started 40 years ago. And it started because we had some employees and some retirees who wanted to bring a contribution back and who were strong believers in the model of Desjardins. And DID is essentially a sort of organization where we bring some of our employees and elected officers and different people having an interest in international cooperation. to go in different countries, and we have involvement in Africa, in South America, in Mexico, in Asia, in Russia, in Lithuania, and I can go on. So we are present in many countries to help not to grow the Desjardins Group, but help to develop cooperatives in a particular country. But we are, and that's very important. So day-by-day, when we have our annual general meeting, is part of our, I would say, meeting. We want to talk about it, and we encourage people to be part of it. Now, the question we have in front of us, and that's something where I would like to spend more time to think going forward, is that we have been requested by some of those partners to work more closely with them. Meaning by that, some of them have asked us, would it be possible for you, Desjardins Group, to co-invest in some of the things we are doing? And so far, we did it on a very small scale. But when I look at the world right now, when I look at some of the quality in terms of partnership we have with different countries and different cooperative groups, it's quite possible that we will open up a little bit more in terms of what we could do. And I think that this will be good also for the cooperative movement in the world. You know, that's not something that we are talking a lot, the cooperative model and the cooperative movement. And I learned a lot when I joined the Desjardins Group. My background at Ernst & Young, and I was a senior executive at the World Bank, was more in terms of learning about the corporate approach, which is very good, and it is quite important. But when I joined Desjardins Group, I learned a lot about the cooperative model. And to be honest, I think that there is a need in the world to have public services, to have the cooperative model solid and bring its contribution, and of course, the corporate model. And I believe in this kind of biodiversity. And what I hope is that there will be more interest from management schools, for example, to teach and talk about the cooperative model, which is a little bit different. If you take the top 300 global cooperatives in the world, it's more in terms of economic contribution than the economy, the Canadian economy. So it is huge, but not known at all. And when we look at the financial crisis, for example, the financial cooperatives were much more resilient to go through, and almost none of them in the world had the need for support from governments. So maybe I started with your question to go a little bit around, so I'm sorry. So
my name is Carlos Triana, former MBA alumni. Thank you for being here today. I have a question for you. Earlier on, you were talking about how lucky we are about the resources and all the things that we have in Canada, in Quebec. I think we all agree that we're very lucky indeed to have them, and that gives us a lot of opportunities, which also brings responsibilities. Something I'd like to hear from you, from your personal opinion, is what are the areas that you think are key that we need to focus on, areas that we may not necessarily be doing so well and they need this particular attention?
Okay. Well, personally, I think that we need really to be more focused on the support for education. I'm a strong believer in education. That's the most important thing in any kind of society. And education is the basis of the creation of value in anything you do. So that's, and I think that we have some challenges in Quebec and in Canada to make sure that, you know, we continue to invest at the right level for education. Second is certainly entrepreneurship. We need to have, I would say, more ambition and more, I would say, boldness to bring more people to try to develop businesses. And when you have, education, solid creation of businesses, well, the last piece in my mind is innovation. And when you have that, well, you have certainly a good combination of factors going forward. So this would be three items that I would put very high on my list.
Over here.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Vitami, a professor in the finance area. Could you spend a few words, perhaps having examples about how the cooperative model has helped you in some ways deal with the financial crisis relative to other banks whose ownership structure is very different?
A few observations on that, and maybe I have the pleasure to be accompanied by some of my colleagues of Desjardins. I could turn, and I will mention to him that I might turn to Daniel Gauvin, who is a former student at McGill, who is our chief risk officer, member of the management team of Desjardins Group, who is in contact with institutional investor around the world and the rating agencies, to provide also additional comments. So Daniel, after maybe a few introductions that I will do. So I guess that, if I may, Daniel, it will be brief. many cooperatives, financial cooperatives, and Desjardins is like that, of course, align much more on a sort of retail banking structure and strategy. So that's one piece. And in our case, also with a philosophy to try as much as we can, and that's not always easy because you need to balance what you do with what sometimes your clients and members want you to do, and to balance a way to manage responsible credit. So that's one aspect that makes a big difference between some of, I would say, the excesses of what happened in the States, for example. Also, overall, the process that sometimes could be seen as democratic and long and sometimes brings you to manage your decision in a much more safe way, because you have to discuss, you have to present, you have much more people who could be involved in the discussion and the decision process. And again, this will bring some balance in your risk management approaches and profile. Third, for Desjardins, it is true also, if I take, for example, the example of Rabobank, we have a financial philosophy based on solid capitalization, stability of earnings, slow growth of earnings instead of, trying to, hit the top all the time but creating a lot of volatility. And of course, we manage our financial affairs such a way that we can protect our credit ratings. So all of those three items, I think, contribute to certainly the fact that Desjardins Group and other cooperatives were able to do better than other large banks. But maybe, Daniel, you have additional comments.
Well, I think you've covered most of it, but in a sense, what I get from your comments is that it's that we had superb risk management. and this is what I keep telling my CEO. but in fact, I think you put the finger on one of the key points, is that a lot of co-ops, such as us, we have extremely strong capital base. Actually, we're Desjardins is number one in North America in terms of capital. And Alex mentioned that we have also 5.8 million members. Out of a population of roughly 7 million in Quebec, that's, you know, roughly, and I'll let Mr. Yaloski do the stats, but roughly 70% of the population banks with us. And this is a very, very stable you know, deposit base for us. So it has allowed us to sail through the this difficult period with a high level of liquidity. And why has the our membership stayed with us throughout that period is that we've been working on a long-term approach, and the reputation of the group, the stability of the group, and the I think that the security that we you know, we have towards our members has allowed us to sail through through this, and but this is very, very delicate, and it can be lost very fast, the reputation of a financial group, and we've seen it throughout the world in that crisis. So we always manage with that in the back of our head, and I think that a lot of co-ops around the world have done the same.
Thank you, Daniel. I think that this question also of loyalty of members is very important, and if we want to have that, and it's always a challenge. You never can take something for granted. Even though we are very, I would say, pleased, and we like the democratic process, we need to continue adjust it. I will just take an example of that. Right now, we have this democratic process with the CACs, which is perfect. But more and more people, and certainly you, are going on what? Social networks. And it's not anymore the physical location of the CACs and the activity of each CAC that will allow us to have this kind of democracy going on. So I'm just picking that example to indicate that, you know, we need to be very careful in the way we are looking forward in terms of making sure that we can protect the reputation, make sure that we have a very solid financial foundation and loyalty of our members. And to do that, we need to be able all the time to adjust a little bit the way we are dealing with our members.
I think we had a question over here.
Hello, Miss. My name is Louis-Philippe Perrault. I'm very pleased to ask you a question today. Of course, I'm part of the movement also. So, yes. And the Fédération des caisses de jardins de Québec has to face different challenges to remain a leader in the industry in Quebec. Notably to reduce its operation costs. Do you believe that it will be necessary to rethink the cooperative's, I would say, governance structure in order to ease a little bit of process, or, for example, to revise the federation's distribution network in order to maybe to reduce the unit cost of operations?
Well, first of all, the cooperative structure, the democratic process is fundamental. And I think, you know, and I was talking, I guess, just before this meeting about it. In my mind, whatever it is for Desjardins or for any kind of company or startup you will be starting, you need to ask yourself what will be the value proposal, what will be the difference, the strategic difference of your organization vis-à-vis another. And this one, this democratic process, even though it has some challenges, makes us different. And I think that, you know, this one is non-negotiable, right? Now, does it mean that we cannot adopt over time the way we will be doing it? That's another question. But in terms of, I would say, the fundamentals, it has to stay. That's our, I would say, values, and that's our foundations. In terms of La Fédération, in 2009, we made a major reorganization of the group. I mean, in terms of La Fédération, all the management structures, the way we were dealing with our subsidiaries, we simplified, we streamlined a lot the structure in order to get I would say, additional productivity, because, you know, we are in business, and it's been quite, I would say, an exercise very challenging in terms of bringing a change to a group of 17,000 people. But when we look now where we are, and we had a meeting 1 week ago to talk about it with all the VPs, so we have 125 VPs instead of close to 400 that we had in the past. So people are much more responsible, large groups, and a lot of additional responsibilities. But the concept was to simplify the way we were working together. I don't believe in hierarchy, so we, you know, we simplified a lot the different management levels. So from, I don't know, 11 or 12, it's been reduced to 5, 6. And even though I'm always talking about agility, how we can, because I believe that in groups and organizations and businesses which will have success now and going forward, you need to have this capacity of innovation. And when you want to innovate, it's not always in silo. You need to have people crossing ideas. It has to be sometimes very informal, very agile. So we did that. And with our network, which is the last part of your question, we have you know, work that has been done right now by the CAES itself, because we have some of the CAES who are, I would say, better positioned than some of the bank branches in terms of productivity. And but the way we are doing that is not to decide at the top of the organization that, by the way, we will do that, we will do that, we will do that. The approach is to share the information, share some possibilities and solutions, and have the people, each board of directors at the CAES level and the general manager of the CAES, to decide on what is the best solution going forward to ensure the capability of the CAES to continue to be present in the community. So it's a different way of managing you know, this question of productivity, and that's a question that each organization has to deal with.
Madam Liu, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I wanted to personally thank you very much for your insights today. We've learned a great deal. On behalf of the students, we wanted to present you with this gift of a token of appreciation. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Oh my God, that's fantastic. My daughter, she will be so happy with that. Look, wow.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it very, very much.
And I would now like to invite Dean Todd for some remarks.
Alors, je veux dire, ah, j'ai des gens là, non, reste tranquillement là, s'il vous plaît, fais rien, Madame Leroux viendra avant que vous fassiez ça. Alors, je veux dire simplement, pour commencer, Madame Leroux, merci à vous pour partager avec nous vos visions, votre expertise, votre expérience. Merci d'être venu parmi nous. Alex et Carl, merci aussi pour tout ce que vous faites avec ce programme. Je vous dis quelques mots de bienvenue à nos invités distingués de groupe Desjardins qui sont parmi nous aujourd'hui, qui incluent nos diplômés aussi, comme Daniel qui a fait on dit cameo appearance en anglais dans la CEO Speaker Series, c'est spécial. Et aussi à Cathy Fazel. Cathy, merci d'être venue. Cathy, qui est membre du conseil de McGill et une des membres de l'équipe de Philip Sager North, qui fait le soutien à nous pour ce programme. Moi, je veux dire simplement quelques mots pour pour commencer par reconnaître la générosité formidable et le support continu du groupe Desjardins pour le développement de nos programmes. Nous sommes fiers d'avoir l'opportunité de travailler ensemble avec le groupe Desjardins dans la faculté pendant les dernières, pendant quelques dernières années. Some of the, what we're doing today with Desjardins started a few years ago with a conversation we had with Patrick Bartlett, who heads equity research at Desjardins Securities, and we were talking about ways to make investment banking and banking more real in the faculty. And part of that led to the creation of an applied investment banking course that saw executives from Desjardins come into the classroom to discuss different aspects of wholesale banking, bank research, securities research, and so on. And a course that really allowed students to benefit from experienced business leaders coming into the classroom. Something that's critically important to the educational experience that we're trying to develop here in the faculty. Desjardins has also been a great partner as we've launched, relaunched our MBA program, providing financial tools and financial support to our MBA students, and we're most grateful for that. And our students last year also took the opportunity to recognize Madame Leroux with a Des Hôtels Management Achievement Award for all that she's done for contributions to business and to the business community in Montreal. And we're delighted today, you might realize, with our friends here and whatever that is that's hidden in front of us, we're delighted that we're taking a major new step in our partnership with the Desjardins Group. Madame Leroux is going to announce that initiative in just a couple of minutes. But let me say that the project is going to help to strengthen relationship between what we think of as two great Quebec institutions, the Mouvement Desjardins, the Caisse Desjardins, and, of course, McGill, and also cement and help to cement the reputation of the Des Hôtels faculty as a leading-edge business school that produces leaders for Quebec, for Canada, and the world. We like to say that we're trying to create here business leaders who push beyond business as usual, and in many ways that reflects, I think, what the Mouvement Desjardins and the idea of cooperatives try to do as well, to push beyond the idea of business as usual. So we'd like to say merci mille fois au groupe Desjardins pour tout ce que vous avez fait pour nous. Et maintenant, je voudrais demander à quatre chefs de direction qui sont dans la salle maintenant. Madame Leroux deviendra ici avec moi. Céline Jean, qui est ici, qui est la chef de direction de Management Undergraduate Society, qui est là aussi. Pat Tenerello, qui est le chef de la direction de la MBA Student Society, ça c'est toi. Et la quatrième chef de direction qui est ici maintenant, McGill's Principal and Vice Chancellor, Heather Munro Bloom.
Great pleasure for me to, of course, today to indicate how we are proud at Desjardins Group to support McGill and essentially also the students of McGill and all the team, the management team of McGill in this project. I guess that I'm looking forward also to see what we have behind. So I guess that you can proceed. I don't want to speak too long. You know, you had the opportunity to listen to me, maybe too much. But let's take it as a sort of tribute to the contribution of McGill, but also the contribution of Alphonse Desjardins. And I'm looking forward to the future, meaning by that hopefully we will be having more and more students from McGill to join Desjardins and have some of the people at Desjardins also to be more active at McGill. So.
Well, merci pour ça, Monique, and I'm going to ask Pat and Céline if they'll just come and say a word about what this means. We'll see, as many of you have seen on our second floor as it's closed down and begun to empty out and begun to be taken apart, the creation of something that's truly new that will include this trading room, the Alphonse Desjardins Financial Trading Room, that's going to be incorporated in the second floor through the support of Desjardins. We're enormously grateful for that. And Celine, Pat, could I ask you guys just to say a couple words about what that means to you as students?
Eh bien, merci Mme Leroux et le groupe Desjardins pour ce cadeau magnifique. Je sais que nos étudiants, notamment ceux en finance, apprécieront la possibilité d'avoir accès aux outils qu'utilisent les professionnels. Et bien, merci. Et je sais que cette salle des marchés sera bénéfique pour l'année. Merci.
Merci pour votre incroyable générosité, Mme Leroux et le groupe Desjardins. Cette nouvelle salle de bourse propulsera notre faculté à l'avant-garde de l'éducation en finance. C'est vraiment une manière incroyable pour nous d'acquérir des connaissances pratiques dans le monde des affaires. Donc, merci beaucoup.
My way here, I'll just say enfin, in absence of the chancellor as the closer, the principal closes every set of addresses that that we make at McGill. And Heather, could I just ask you to come and say a couple of words?
Bonjour, chers collègues, invités distingués, particulièrement notre ami et partenaire, Madame Leroux, et je veux communiquer aussi que pour moi, c'est un partenariat made in heaven. C'est vrai que je pense que c'est un anniversaire spécial pour le groupe Desjardins, 110 ans de contributions magnifiques. Et pour nous, c'est notre anniversaire cette année de 190 ans. Et je pense que pour toutes nos histoires, nous avons en commun des autres standards. Une dépendance sur le talent magnifique et aussi une culture d'être ouverte au monde. Et puis, votre investissement dans ce programme, dans la salle, dans les bourses, est pour moi une expression of confidence that means a great deal to us as we're forging under the great leadership of our dean, Peter Todd, and the wonderful colleagues and students here, a deep commitment to working at the highest standards internationally while being a great Quebec institution like Desgroupes Desjardins. So thank you so much. And I want to, in recognizing the special anniversary of Desjardins, also recognize your extraordinary leadership. The honors that you've received lately for your leadership are tremendous, as are the recognitions that have come to your corporation. So we're very proud of the association. We share values and ambition in common. And for those of you who don't know, and I so regret I had to miss the question and answer period representing our university elsewhere today, Madame Leroux has been a tremendous ambassador for the cause of post-secondary education, for the investment in post-secondary education as being absolutely at the heart of healthy civil society, of a prosperous economy, and of a position, a place in the world for Quebec that puts us at the very top. So we share those goals. I really commend you for your leadership in that regard and for your wonderful team at Desjardins. Thank you very much. Et puis encore, félicitations à nous tous et merci infiniment pour votre générosité.
La fin de la chaîne, en toujours.
Voilà, je vais la garder avec moi. Excellent. Oh, oh là là. Très bien. Alors, on a son
nom. C'est le doyen.
Yes. Oui.
Ça, c'est la base.
La base.
Le okay. Reste, on ne sait jamais. Non.
Oh, that's quite very. Oh, yes. Yeah. Very good.
So, the port principal de McGill and the
Roddick.
Port Roddick de McGill.
C'est bon?
Alors.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Just a little souvenir of our relationship.
Mais Madame Leroux, merci encore. Merci à vous tous. Nous sommes très, très fiers d'être, comme j'ai dit, partenaires avec Desjardins et de dire merci encore pour ce don de 1 million de dollars pour faire ce salle de trading, comment on dit, salle de marché, pardon, je l'avais oublié à la fin. Alors, et bon, merci Heather. Alors, merci à vous tous, ça c'est la fin de notre programme formel. Merci et bonne journée.